Good evening, everyone. This is Skinny E Media here to produce his podcast on romantic movies. As it turns out, I'm going to be trying something a little bit different. I'm going to be talking about it myself, about movies in particular that have romantic themes, issues, and ideas. Could even be pornographic, or can even be just very much Jane Austen stuff. From U to 18. Rob will not be on this one particularly. I decided to do it myself because we didn't want to be perceived as like a couple or anything. I'm actually heterosexual by chance. I'm not homo by any means, but anyone who is, we will not discriminate in that regard. We are left wing in case anyone asks. But just to get that out of the way, I wanted to talk about some of the movies I believe are very good talking points as far as rating issues are concerned, because I don't really have someone else to work with in regards to the podcast of this matter. I decided to mostly just focus on titles that I know and love dearly. And from my Letterboxd list, which is called Best Romantic Films, I decided to start off with Edward Scissorhands, my number one favourite. It's PG. I saw it many times as a child. I didn't know until years later, at least maybe when I was 24, 25 years old, that they had to cut and trim a few things just to get it to PG from 12. Otherwise, I mean, it would have lost a little bit of box office. They'd done some test screenings with very younger viewers to see how they reacted, particularly to a scene where Edward is being fought off by Kimball's boyfriend, Kimball the cat, played by Winona Ryder. It was quite violent. Also, she gets slapped, and the villain also gets stabbed in the chest and falls to his death. He sees some bloody stains. That scene, weirdly enough, did not faze me as much as I would have assumed. The scene that always makes me sort of scratch my head a little bit was that moment where he's being flirted by that red-haired lady that's found kind of erotic for wrong reasons, especially growing up. I probably shouldn't have, but I did, and thank you, Tim Burton. Unfortunately, Johnny Depp, you're a bit of an asshole, but I'll forgive you for making one of my all-time favorite films when I was a child. That scene always seems to come up in the noise, that fight scene, but that scene for me and Lard, and then now reinforce the accused of rape. It was more sort of the thing that stuck with me over the years, more so than the violence. I can't watch that film again, otherwise I start crying. If you think about it, it is a bit of a strong PG, not in terms of language, but in terms of some of the other material involved. It's actually PG-13 in the US, if that tells you anything. While Beetlejuice, which was 15 at the time, got a PG in the US, so that's a bit of an oxymoron. There would have been a chance where I would have been able to watch Beetlejuice over Edward Scissorhands, even though Beetlejuice has a bit more going on. There's some horror, violence, and gore, and there's also that F word. Precision F strike that he says, nice fucking model, that pushed it to 15 instead of probably a PG, a higher PG, I would presume, had it all worked out. But I'm not talking about Bill, just talking about Edward Scissorhands, my all-time favourite romantic film, in case anyone asks. Now, number two, let's go on to Aladdin, which is a movie everyone knows and love. Probably got a little bit too excited seeing Jasmine in a red dress flirting with Jafar, just trying to help Aladdin and the genie from their escape. I remember that movie very fondly. It's another film I can't watch again because I start crying, because it was a movie I used to watch multiple times on VHS, and it still holds up. It's one of the few Disney princess movies I can enjoy. Outside of probably Brave, I don't know much about Mulan or Beauty and the Beast or Sleeping Beauty or Cinderella as much. I never really watched those on repeat, but Aladdin I certainly did. In all fairness, it's quite strong about you, but you know, that's saying a bit of a lot, because a film like this was a product of its time. You certainly would not be able to show that sort of level of intensity of the screaming tiger who dare disturb my slumber, and some of the maybe bits of sexual innuendo during that flirtation scene between Jasmine and Jafar, which I'm sure they probably made some Rule 34 pornography out of, but that's another story. Just watch Rule 34 stuff on Najka Blitz Tactics or XL Saga instead, and Mad Lax. But yes, I'm Aladdin. That scene with the tiger never scared me, but I could see some people were a bit shooken up because it's quite loud and booming when you see it at kids' clubs. I'm assuming that's And I also had to censor a few line or two, I believe, on one of the songs from the beginning because they said, "You can never cut your hand off," which I'm sure is probably playing some sort of ethnic stereotypes about Arab people that, you know, if you steal bread, we'll cut your hand off to spite you, which, yeah, I guess it's not very politically correct, but out of pressure to try to appease global markets, Disney had to do what they had to do. Just like they had to remove or give the implication that the word sex was not imprinted in the sky on The Lion King, or there was no breasts involved in Rescuers Down Under, or joke about sex chats on the Santa Claus. That's in the cinema version, but if you see the video version, that bit is omitted. Or Roger Rabbit with the bit where you see Jessica Rabbit's knickers, but that's another story. On to my number three. So I'm just kind of bouncing back and forth. I done with PG, what, /12? I know it's 12 now, Edward Scissorhands. And then You, which they remade recently, and it's now PG, which I hate Disney remakes. They're awful! And now let's talk about Welcome to Marvin, which is from 2018, based on the documentary Marvin Cole. It's a 12A certificate. It's a quite a strong one at places, because we also do see blood and violence, and there's also some bits of sexual stuff and nudity, which I didn't quite expect to see over modern day film that's PG-13 like this, especially with bits of blood. But it's all in the context of so wartime violence. It also uses CG animation, although it is certainly not a kids' movie. If you're expecting small soldiers, good for you. You certainly like it the same way I did, or Toy Story. But this is more along the lines of being John Malkovich. If you put it in all fairness, it's quite quirky. It's quite unusual, a bit weird, but I really love Welcome to Marvin. It's actually one of my all-time favourite films, one of my favourite films of the 2010s. It is a, you know, 12, also not just because of the violence and some of the bits of sexual references, but I think there is also references to PTSD and the people who were being thugs against Mark Hogan Camp were Nazis, and they were just pummeling him through and through, and there were some shootouts that were imagined, and although it has the fancy context, it could be a bit much for younger viewers, I would presume, but compared to Robert Zemeckis' other 12A masterpiece, Beowulf, which is animated but looked like a video game, this one looks a little bit more cartoonish, thankfully, which I think is to his credit. Beowulf was much stronger. That had, even in its uncut version, a 12 certificate, despite having scenes of people being gored and there's bloody detail and limbs being removed. A man cuts his heart out. We see Angelina Jolie, she's naked, and there's quite a bit of violent and raunchy stuff going on, and I'm sure, in all fairness, it probably would not be 12 nowadays, probably 15. If Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen Zero can be 15, I'm sure Beowulf can, or Cowboy Bebop movie. But that's not really for me to say, but you know, in all retrospective, of course. Now here's another animated film that will certainly bring up your curiosity a bit. Anomalisa, 15 certificate. Wow, I saw this at the Palm Springs International Film Festival months before I saw Sausage Party. So in all fairness, this is the first adult animated film I saw in cinemas. It was part of a film festival, so we didn't get the black card or anything like that. So it was a little bit on the rough side. But I do remember fondly of seeing this. I think it's wonderfully animated. It is, you know, it's slow. It's a bit unusual. It's quite sort of outre and art house. But I'm willing to forgive that for the wonderful the set designs. It was one of my favorite films of that decade. Probably not as much as Sausage Party or Toy Story 3. But I stand by my convictions. It was given a 15 certificate, particularly because of the sexual content and the language. There is a quite a pretty frank scene of animated sex involving two characters. We actually even see a brief shot of his erect penis, but we don't see full-on penetration shots like you do in Walter Bashir or like some sort of hentai. It's all stop-motion animated, so it's almost like watching Team America World Police, but a bit more on the explicit side, because we see actually the genitals involved in pubic hair, although it's sort of shown in long shot or sort of before and after the fact. It is quite adult, but I wouldn't rule it out. I'm at 15. I think it's fine at 15, although it is quite frank. Usually films that are animated or even live action ones usually don't show that quite level of it unless they're trying to aim for some sort of titillation. But this one's just playing it as it is, and I think that's the ultimate charm. I actually think it's a bit milder in content than Team America World Police, because it also had not as much crude humor, and there wasn't any violence, not that I was aware of. So yeah, I stand by my convictions on Anomaly. It's a great movie. It's 15, but don't come and expecting Frozen or Balto. It's much more adult than that, but it's not as adult as like Perfect Blue or even Elf in Lead or Haunted World Elf Super Beasto, but that's another story. Now here's an 18 certificate that'll certainly pique your curiosity a bit, called Don John. Kind of a reference to the titular Don Juan or Casanova, a cad type of person who likes to go out with a lot of women and, you know, get his dick hard and get it hard and wet with some tight pussies and cunts he can find within his reach. Excuse my French, but because it's an 18, I can kind of say whatever the hell I want, even if some people might be offended. Although I'm not Joe Rogan. As far as 18 films are concerned, it is not that explicit. It's certainly quite frank, I will say, in terms of the sexual content, because it deals openly with pornography and masturbation and him just kind of getting a thrill off, you know, watching people do the dirty. But weirdly enough, for an 18 certificate film, we don't see actually any nudity except breasts and maybe some bums, but we don't actually see Joseph Gordon-Levitt's cock, no erections, we don't see even see his bum. Scarlett Johansson, you certainly don't see anything on her or any of the other cast of characters that he hangs around, or Julianne Moore, but I think there's probably the subject matter and the language that he uses, because he talks about, you know, getting his dick hard, fucking that ass, oh. It's probably what pushed it to 18. It's pretty explicit in terms of the dialogue, but as far as the visuals are concerned, it's almost sort of 18, but mild enough to not sort of be Nine Songs, Nymphomaniac territory, not even Crash by David Cronenberg territory, if you know what I mean. It's an acquired taste, I will say there, but I feel he was certainly a great film. I've seen it multiple times. If you're someone who's, you know, knows someone who has problems with being addicted to pornography or sex and the internet and masturbation, I think this is certainly a good talking point. I'm sure some liberal-minded Christians can certainly have a chin wag with a film like this one, although they might want to blow out some of the fucking in it, as far as I'm concerned. So following from where we last started off, I would also like to talk about my number 6, Corpse Bride, another Tim Burton classic. In fact, actually, I prefer it over The Nightmare Before Christmas, in case anyone asks. Although, if you were to compare it with Coraline, which is Henry Selick, but you know, people just assume it's all Tim Burton anyway, simply because of the visual aesthetic, and it's all gothy and emo, hot topic-y, then Coraline has the upper hand. But getting back to it, it is a romantic movie that I really like. It's a PG certificate, with very good reason for some of the frightening and scary scenes that are involved. It's certainly more sort of horror-focused than I would say Edward Scissorhands is. Edward Scissorhands is more drama and fantasy than anything. Corpse Bride, could definitely scare very young children, but I personally thought it was a great film. It never scared me. I saw the trailers and spots for it when I was growing up at the cinema. I thought it was going to be more of an adult animation, and in many ways it is. It's not really kid-focused, By any means, I certainly didn't approach it as that. We see shots of dismemberment, an arm holding Johnny Depp's character, Victor, by the grave, and then her eye pops out, and there's a worm and some ghoulish imagery, and then she's also stabbed, but she doesn't feel any pain, and she pulls the sword out and tries to stop the villain from attacking Victor and his live wife, not his corpse wife, so to speak. And the sort of thing you would find out of a typical Tim Burton movie, but probably with a little less blood and a little less
he's like that. He's like, yeah, fuck that. Hey, what's up? Hey, you little cash. Oh my god. You're a bunch of lovers.
So I was doing Michael Keaton from Beetlejuice there, but every once in a while I like to amuse the audience whenever I can, and that's nothing out of the ordinary for me. But let's get on to something a little bit more topical at best, The Shape of Water. Guillermo del Toro's masterpiece. It's up there with El Laberinto del Fauno and Hellboy 2004. Not that recent remake, I don't want to talk about that, but we'll talk about La Forma del Agua, or The Shape of Water, Shape of the Water, I sometimes call it. It's a 15 certificate. That I'm sure probably kids have seen one way or another, because it kind of has that sort of Tim Burton-esque charm to it. Terry Gilliam probably would have made a movie quite like this, and I think even Jean-Pierre Jeunet, who done Delicatessen and La Fable de Stand d'Amélie Poulain, who's a French filmmaker, said, oh, this is a bit too derivative of my work. What does Monsieur de Trouve think he is doing? But, with that being said, it is a 15 certificate, but anyone who's expecting some sort of porny, softcore, bestiality film that's in akin to something like Max My Love or that documentary called Zoo, probably expecting the wrong thing. This is a bit more like Creature of the Black Lagoon, with just a little bit more nudity. And the sex scene in question is not even between the mutant fish character and Sally Hawkins, who looks very gorgeous, by the way. She kind of looks like Jennifer Love Hewitt. It's between Michael Shannon and his wife, and she exposes breasts, and then he's humping around missionary style. Just keep it safe for the Christians, even though I'm sure Christians won't like the bestiality element behind it, but that's another story. And covering his mouth, so it kind of has a bit of a hard sex, rough sex, rapey vibe there. One might harken back to something like History of Violence, which was an 18 certificate, and that had a scene that could be interpreted as sex and rape, rough sex, I don't know. Hard to tell. But the scenes in question that were contentious were the masturbation. We don't see explicit detail, but it looks as though Sally Hawkins' character, who doesn't speak, she's a mute, is fingering herself up in a bathtub while the eggs are boiling. And some suggestive elements as to Octavia Spencer was lecturing her, like, so what does the genitalia of the fish creature look like? And she does like a sort of weird hand gesture that almost looks like something phallic, and she's like, girl. That's why I love this movie so much. In many ways, it's kind of like a more raunchier version of Edward Scissorhands, and also there's also bits of violence which are quite shocking, bits of blood, and the implication that a man's fingers have been severed after trying to mess with the fish creature by torturing him and putting that sort of electrocution device that on people. It's quite rough on the edges at places, and it's not afraid to speak its mind a bit at places, and I think that's the great charm of it. I'm glad it won Best Picture, but don't expect a kid's movie. Don't even expect Edward Scissorhands going to see it. A 15 certificate for good reason. In the vein of adult-oriented fairy tales like The Witches of Eastwick or Big Fish, one is PG, Big Fish, one is 15, Witches of Eastwick, or Death Becomes the Fair, which is a PG, but it's quite hard. I think it's now a 12 even nowadays. So, on to the next title, Lars and the Real Girl. Well, the idea and premise of a movie about Ryan Gosling dating a sex doll is likely to disturb and confuse some people in many parts, although it must be said that it is a film that's been somehow adopted by the Christian community in America. Some liberal-minded Christians, there are some that do exist, like part of the Unitarian Church or the Quakers, Society of Friends, that have actually adopted this movie for their own religious and cultural gain. A movie about a man who falls in love with someone that, on the surface, would not be accepted in mainstream society because it's inanimate, but they begin to respect her, appreciate her, almost as if she was a human being, they even give her medical treatment. And in America, you can't get medical treatment that easily unless you got some money. So, it's in many ways, it's kind of a story about a man's sort of delusions, and he's probably got some sort of unspecified mental disorder or some form of autism. It makes him believe that the woman that he's been with, Bianca, is like a real person, but it's actually not. So I'm given a 12 certificate, 12A, because of some of the sexual references there are. References obviously to sex dolls, and you know, if she is anatomically correct, and there's a scene where we see Elmi Mortimer's character look down Bianca's lady bits. We don't see anything, but was a bit surprised that she actually has a vagina, and that's the sort of humour and amusement behind it, but it's actually much more serious in terms of Edward Scissorhands. It's probably a little bit more in common with that film than it is like American Pie or Sex Drive or some sort of crude teen comedy that appeals to 15-year-olds that you see, you see from the 2000s and the 90s. It's a lot more mild and meeker than that. I love it. Even if the Christian right in America has somehow adopted this film for their own gain. But I think because it doesn't have an overt religious message, I think that's actually quite charming. They also like Hunchback of Notre Dame for similar reasons too. Even if the Archdeacon character is quite vicious and horrible. And racist too. Anyways, I've said my piece. Slumdog Millionaire. 15 certificate. I know it won Best Picture, kind of like Shape of Water. Great movie, by the way, and from Film 4, which I went to one of their exhibits back in November 2022. That was one of the best times of my life. Although not as much as the BBFC visit, but I still put it up there. With that being said, he was given a 15 certificate because of bits of violence. There's children using guns and shooting at people, although it's not explicit, not as bloody and as gore as I thought. If actually it's quite restrained, like almost like a 12 certificate film, but there are scenes which could be quite shocking, because the children using firearms. But there is the scene in the beginning where we see Dev Patel's character being tortured with electrocution wires on his toes or his foot, and it's zapping him and he's spitting out blood after the fact. It's not a pleasant scene. I'm sure that's probably why it is a 15, although in America we received an R rating for some violence, so I kind of take the US approach by it that it wasn't as much as I thought it was going to be. If they wanted to have censored it, they could have easily made it PG-13 or 12A. I didn't think it was that harsh. Usually with films that are aimed at a South Asian audience, and I don't have quite much experience with this, but with Bollywood, from the titles that I do know and hear about, sex is not really something you show or even depict. You have to be very careful not to show something like that. And violence, they kind of really don't care that much. And even rape scenes are kind of given carte blanche in Bollywood cinema, South Asian films. It's quite unruly. You can't show this, but you can show that. I don't know how I feel about that, but those are the facts. And Slumdog Millionaire is a romantic film, so that kind of brings some levity to it. But some sources say it's comedic, but I didn't see the humor in it. Kind of like Lars and the Real Girl is kind of missing, really. But as a drama, as a story of finding long lost love, even like the movie Aladdin, which I love so much, one could say, Slumdog Millionaire is like a rated R or 15 certificate Aladdin. It works, but don't compare the two. That's kind of racist. What a good word accent like that. Thank you, come again. No, don't. Empire of Light. Okay, here we go. Number 10 on my list. It's a 15 certificate. It's certainly the most recent of titles that I have seen. Although, in retrospect, I probably should have put Scott Pilgrim on here. I kind of forgot to put that one, but I will talk about Scott Pilgrim in just a moment. I love that movie. But Empire of Light, 15 certificate. There's some debate about it amongst the crew, because Olivia Colman doesn't do sex scenes, or she doesn't depict nudity. And we certainly don't see anything explicit in this film. I think a large part of it has to do with her role in the movie Confetti, which was a 15 certificate wedding drama that, filled a bare body, as well as Robert Webb from Peep Show. She was doing comedy at the time, so that's probably explains why she's now done a U-turn and has now done dramas over the years, but she didn't take too kindly to that, and even threatened to sue the filmmakers for not letting her know that they would remove at least bits of nudity. She didn't take too kindly to that, but getting back to it, there was sexual situations, and I think there was even moments of sexual abuse and harassment in the workplace, as Olivia Colman's character is forced to masturbate Colin Firth, after hours while she's working at a cinema that's somewhere near Margate, of all places. They filmed it in Margate, which is near where my grandparents live, which is quite unusual, but I think that's very charming. So I was taken a bit by that, and then also, some people might not take too kindly to some of the interracial sex scenes, but fuck them. It's not my problem, that's yours, you kippers. But, yeah, it's mostly sort of standard by line 15. Some people might not take too kindly to some of the sexual harassment stuff in the beginning. But she does speak up and says, "Go fuck yourself," in her usual yelling that she does very well from movies like The Favourite and Tyrannosaur. Tyrannosaur being one of her best films. Very disturbing. An 18 certificate. That's not a romantic film. That's like a vigilante drama. Kitchen sink film. Gives me nightmares. But, yeah. Well, funny enough, I was going to talk about Scott Pilgrim. I forgot to include it on this list on the Letterboxd, but I'll certainly make those changes. So it would be in the top 10. I can guarantee you that. Now, that's a movie, what I call a movie. Edgar Wright did it years after Hot Fuzz. And it was hilarious. Lots of action, lots of weird video game references and anime and manga sort of vibes about the whole thing. It's almost like watching I love EXO, sorry, that's a great anime, mixed with dashes of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, mixed with Say Anything. God knows what. It's a really hard film to sort of pinpoint, but it works. It's some sort of weird genre mashup of a romance film. 12A certificate. Excuse me, I'm a bit thirsty. Although, the thing that caught me by surprise, even with the romantic elements involved, is Scott Pilgrim tries to date Nice Chow and Ramona Flowers, who, God, what a good looking lass. Bobbed hair woman. For some reason, it seems to be a common thread in all the movies I see, but there's quite a bit of misogynistic violence that caught me by surprise. There's a lot of scenes of women being slapped and sort of kicked and punched around. I don't think that would work in a sort of modern-day setting. Also, some slight homophobic humour in there for good measure, but that wasn't noted on the 2010 BBFC guidelines at the time it came out, but by today's standards, it certainly would be flagged on some level. They wouldn't take too kindly to watching Knives Chow being smacked by an ovo-lacto vegetarian, otherwise known as a vegan. And he gets stopped by the vegan police, and then Jason Schwartzman punches and kicks Ramona Flowers. There's no blood and resulted details. Very fancy, very sort of video game, anime, sci-fi type violence, but that's definitely sort of a straw in the camel's back. And then also the bleep uses a strong language, which I thought was quite funny and genius. In order to get that PG-13, they had to at least tone down some of the profanities. So you don't hear any F-words, but you certainly get the idea that you're hearing. For the record, I am so pissed for you. Shut up, Julie. What you want? With your coffee? Aubrey Plaza. She does. She knows how to do it best. I'll give you that there. And as far as I'm concerned, we also have on here on this list Chico y Rita, which I'll talk about in a moment, but let me talk about The Mask. I know that's more superheroic, that's a comedy, but it is also romantic, involving Cameron Diaz and Jim Carrey, and you know, he's very fixated, maybe a bit too much, to where there's a bit of a phallic sexual metaphor of him sticking a pencil in a sharpener, and he's getting a little excited, and Cameron Diaz touching his tie. For a PG film, that's awfully erotic and sexual, don't you think? But, you know, it was a product of its time. I doubt it would be PG nowadays. I know me and Rob have discussed this film on a few occasions. He probably got a bit of a thrill watching it because Cameron Diaz, I didn't, because I'm not big on blondes, but I know a lot of people are. The scene that caught me probably was a bit of a contentious point, because I saw this as a child in the same way as I saw Edward Scissorhands, and my mother was a bit worried on that scene from Edward Scissorhands with some of the violence, and also that scene where Edward was being flirted on by the ginger lady in The Mask. It was a few of the sexual innuendos, but also that scene where a man was being interrogated and he puts a golf ball in his mouth and hits a golf club on his mouth, and there's actually some resultant blood. So some little gangland, Martin Scorsese type violence that kind of took the film out a little bit. It was a bit jarring when you think about it, but it never fazed me. But I always thought that scene was a bit, you know, now thinking about it in hindsight, yeah. Even she has told me, because we've seen it, me and my mother have seen it since years, you know, years later, like, we were a bit worried this scene might be a bit much for you, but, you know, because of the cartoonish antics of Jim Carrey popping his eyes out and talking in a French accent and smoking, it meant it was fun to watch at the house. I'm actually glad my mother and my parents in general let me see films that were PG-13 stateside, but I got to see them. UK with a PG certificate, because I was none the wiser. I say thank you. And, you know, there are bits of language, but it's a PG, but it's strong PG. I don't think it would be by today's standards, even if it is very cartoonish, and despite some of those, because of those gangland shootings and bits of violence, kind of took the film out a little bit. And then you have, on smaller scale, you got Chico y Rita, another animated film, but it's a 15. All I remember was that there was some frank sex. I think you even see some breasts and stuff. It was tastefully done. It's not pervy like Team America or Sausage Party, nor is it, you know, an hentai. Nothing like that. It's a proper love story. Completamente en español. La película. I'll abandon that, but the La Película. About two Cuban lovers. One of them goes to America to try to make her career big. One of them is still trying to struggle and find his purpose. I think he even goes to France. Like, it's been quite a while since I've seen Chico y Rita. I think it's wonderfully done. It's a beautifully imagined animation. And it doesn't feel schmaltzy. It actually feels tightly woven. And it's an independent animation of Spanish origin, which I'm very glad that they made. That's about as much as I can tell you, because it's been a while since I've seen it. But if you haven't, you like Anomalisa or even Aladdin as far as romantic animated films are concerned, or even WALL-E, which I'll talk about in a moment, you're certainly like Chico y Rita. On to Whisper of the Heart, that's Studio Ghibli, that's an anime, which... you know, anime films are a little bit more dime a dozen as compared to anime TV shows and OVAs, but Whisper of the Heart was one I saw in my early years. I saw it around the same time as I saw XL Saga and Elfin Lied. I thought it was wonderfully done, maybe because I was a teenager at the time. I probably had a crush on the girl in there. It was it's been long ago, it's about 16 years ago, but... I saw it because it was a sequel to The Cat Returns. This one has a bit more of a romantic touch to it, one could say maybe there's a bit of a slight bestiality element involved because she's in love with someone who's, you know, a feline, a cat. And, you know, it's not human, but I think there's a human love story between the girl from Whisper of the Heart and the boy that she meets as she's from high school age, as it was depicted. I was of high school age at the time I saw this. Secondary school, high school is not really a thing in the UK, but that's beside the point. Standard U, it's a very mild film, not as mild as Totoro, but certainly not as explicit as Princess Mononoke or Grave of the Fireflies, which are certainly more for an adult audience than this is, I would say. But check it out if you want. Support independent animation whenever you can. On to WALL-E, which is a film that I used to love. It was, for a long time, my number one favourite film in 2008, until Role Models took over, because WALL-E just hasn't had the staying power that Role Models, or a few of the others, have. And I'm sorry to admit that, but it is Pixar, and it is romantic, involving two robots who fall in love. One of them is quite lonely and lives in a trash island of all things. Precursor to Isle of Dogs, may I add. And also a parable for the environment. Climate change is still a controversial issue in the US. I don't know why. I saw it in England. So what, you know, climate change, we just take it for granted that you got to solve this issue. But in America, it's very divisive. It's a U certificate. Mostly for bits of threat, sci-fi threat, and I think there's a brief implication that WALL-E puts a bra under his eyes, but there's nothing overtly sexual about it. It was done kind of just like, oh, I found something in the heap of rubbish laying in this planet that we call Earth that many humans have escaped from. And that's it. And then, you know, the scenes of people being terrorized by this HAL 3000 wannabe that was the people at Pixar thought to put in was a good idea, even though it's very much plagiarizing that Space Odyssey film that Stanley Kubrick did from the 60s, but that's another story. Standard U, nothing in the way contentious. It's not like The Incredibles or even Up, which probably should have been PG. So Incredibles was very violent. Up also had some difficult subject matter that was kind of romantic, but most of the romantic stuff occurs at the very beginning, so I didn't include it on this list. But I will discuss it just for the hell of it. Given a U certificate, but it should have been a PG, despite having references to miscarriage and terminal illness and death, all within the first 8 minutes of the film. A scene with a man being hit in the head and there's blood coming out of his head. Yep. Let me just remind you, this is still a U certificate, right? And later on, scenes of threat, as a man wields a gun and he falls to his death through the house that's propelled by the balloons and burns the house down. You certainly would not find that sort of material, at least in a modern day U. But this was 2009 we're talking about, and I was like, took me a little bit by surprise, but okay, even Ireland gave it a G, which I thought was a little bit surprising, because it was a PG, and PG Pixar films were quite as common as they are now. I mean, Soul and Turning Red are PGs, and no one blinks an eye about them. Finding Dory was PG, but did it deserve it? No. At least Toy Story 4 and 3 and Cars 2 and 3 at least were G-rated, but what am I to say? Toy Story 4 also had the romantic elements as well. That was a U certificate. Some bits of friends, some bits of horror with, you know, creepy puppets and the Key and Peele characters. Yes, I know. The guy from Get Out actually does a voice of one of the stuffed bears, turns into some sort of monster and zaps lasers at a theme park attendant, which I thought was funny, but very young children could be a little bit freaked out by that, but I thought it was hilarious. But, yeah, it was a romantic on some level, Toy Story 4 was, because of the Bo Peep Woody element, even though we don't see them kiss or make out, there is that element in it as well. Oh dear, now this is kind of stretching the wires a little bit. I could even include Shrek. At least the first one and two, Shrek 1, Shrek 2, those were youth certificates. I think now Shrek 2 is now a PG of all things. Because of the use of the word bloody. Which I understand, because that's a very British swear word. Certainly doesn't have the kind of mild impact like it does in the States. In Britain, it's certainly not a word you want to be saying to people over the age of 80. Just saying. Or 90. I'll put it politely. But yeah, it's romantic-wise, it's there. You know, he sees the princess, falls in love with Cameron Diaz. There's all those sappy songs here and there in the first one, the second one. And bits of violence and slapstick. And I know the first one, quite a bit of swearing as well. Like, hell and damn and thanks for saving my ass there, donkey. You stubborn jackass. Which I thought, you certainly couldn't put that in a youth film nowadays. I wish I talked about it on the previous podcast, but we didn't do one about DreamWorks that much. And by the time Rob, you know, his age, when Shrek came out, he must have been like 16 or something. Or, yeah, he 15, 16 years old. He would have been too old for those types of movies anyway, so there was no point. But I love it. Oh, yeah, Shrek 2 also has a headbutt as well, which certainly was not something you see in a, you know, because they were still strict about headbutting in the early 2000s.
I know I've talked a lot about DreamWorks films particularly, but I just wanted to get out of my head of ants. I know I don't always associate that as a romantic movie, but it actually is about, you know, Woody Allen's all neurosis. I slept with my stepdaughter. Oh no, I'm all naive. Well, he does the same thing yet again, but as an insect who falls in love with an ant, voiced by Sharon Stone. So, you know, they were very popular sort of people, at least within the 90s, of course. She was on Basic Instinct. But that one's a bit more of an adult type of animation than people sort of probably would remember. It was a PG certificate, but also had quite a bit of swearing. At least the sort of language you typically would hear, like, on a Simpsons episode, or perhaps King of the Hill, than, let's say, SpongeBob SquarePants or Rugrats, which is more family-friendly. I've always approached it in the same sort of camp as The Simpsons because of some of the more sort of adult type of humour, but not so adult that it becomes South Park type of territory. And, you know, we hear, what are you bitching about? We're the lords of the earth! And hey, this tastes like crap. This tastes like crap. You know, I had you in my mind with all my erotic fantasies. Am I drinking the anus out of them? Athens, you know, I can't even do it. I'm not a laugher. Sorry, I always have to laugh at that movie whenever I see it. It's actually one of my all-time favourites I used to watch when I was a child. Band Small Soldiers. I think they came out the same year. 1998 was a great year, even though I couldn't see many you know, films, you know, because it was mostly UMPG stuff back then. I'm glad I still saw it. I have fond memories. But yes, if you are wanting to show your child the first DreamWorks type of movie, you might want to just stick them off with something like Shark Tale or Over the Hedge. Ants is a little bit more mature. Some might say a bit bleak at times, because it deals with war and conscription, and, you know, we see deaths of characters as well. But, you know, the romantic angle is still there between Zed and Princess Bala. And, you know, we have to go to Sliced the Lumber with Jennifer Lopez. At least we don't see J-Lo's voice. You know, it used to be Rocky and Rambo. And another DreamWorks film that I can think of that I also really like, but I saw it when I was probably more of a teenager, perhaps even, you know, an older child, maybe like 11 or 12, was The Terminal. Which is a movie I really like, although not as much as Ants, but it's still in the top 100 films of all time, in my opinion, because Tom Hanks is going to Krakowska, and he's stuck inside the airport because of a diplomatic situation in Krakowska. And Stanley Tucci is being the abusive diplomatic consultant or immigration and customs enforcement officer at the New York LaGuardia Airport, which I actually have been to many years ago. It was for an ambassador summit for the United Nations. That's another story. I'll talk about that a little bit later, or probably not. Going to have Catherine Zeta-Jones as kind of the brief love interest, and, you know, they have some sort of connection, but there's sort of two broken people, and her character is more broken than Tom Hanks's character. It's a Steven Spielberg movie that not a lot of people talk about. Most people like to wax poetic about Schindler's List or E.T. or I think he'd done Raiders of the Lost Ark. But for me, it's my favorite Spielberg film, if anyone asks. And I make no mistake about it, alongside Duel, the movie with the killer articulated lorry or truck. It's a 12A certificate, not for anything grandiose. I think it's mostly just because of language. But, you know, having seen that film multiple times, I'm a little hard to decipher what bad words were in it that pushed it to 12, because I've heard the same sort of profanities on PG films. You know, maybe pussy or shit, son of a bitch, maybe this word dick. That's about as much as I can remember, but there weren't very many obscenities I heard of that. I heard a lot more in, let's say, Men in Black, which was certainly a film that my mother was a little bit concerned about because some of the language was quite salty for a PG, but I still watched it anyways. It never fazed me, although I did pick up a few ways to say the word shit a lot growing up, but You pick up on things that you probably shouldn't as children, and you learn to sort of swipe that as you get older. I mean, that's just human nature, of course, but yeah. Nothing remarkable. I think the film should be PG. Nothing too out of the ordinary.
It's not a film I talk about as much these days, but it is a romantic movie. And it's a 15. Romantic type of teen comedy like Loser with Jason Biggs. Because he was a teenage dirtbag! Oh, wait. Wrong movie. But, you know, it's very much a millennial teen.
A millennial teen.
So I'm a little bit thirsty here, so if you hear any water drops, my apologies. Now, I could go on to another film that has a great Canadian actor, Jay Baruchel, but it's never been released in the UK, called The Trotsky. About a man who thinks he's Leon Trotsky, and he lives in Montreal, but he's English-speaking, and he ultimately falls in love with this lady that he is much older than him. That could be a bit illegal, because there's a bit of an age gap, because he's 17, and she's 20-something. But he's determined to live on his legacy and somehow die, like Trotsky, by the ice pick, will be sent to exile. So it's definitely very politicized satire, but I can't really talk about that film that much because it was never released in the UK, but nor in the US even. It was only in Canada, but I saw it when I was in Air Canada on a flight. I thought it was the best fucking thing I've ever seen. I still own it proudly at home. I'm trying to think of a few other titles I can think of. Well, let's just get this out of the way. It's not a film I care so much about for what it is, more so than for the content. It's 9 songs. I did hint at it a little bit earlier. It is a romantic movie about a couple. You know, they fall in love after attending so many gigs and concerts, but it's arguably the first film that I've seen that is that explicit in terms of its sexual content. I mean, we see ejaculation, penetration, masturbation, maybe not, BDSM, missionary, cunnilingus, fellatio, everything you can imagine is in it except rape and probably urinalia and foot fetishism. We don't have those bits, but we do have everything else. I mean, nothing is left to the imagination. It is very shocking. It is to be said, I had to watch it with a VPN because I didn't want to feel like I was committing a crime, if you know what I mean. But it's actually legal and it's uncut in the UK with an 18 certificate, although there was some discussion as to whether that maybe it should be an R18 because of the sexual elements.
were so explicit, sort of what they would call sort of real and simulated sex that you normally would see in the sort of R18 category, which is usually reserved for sort of hardcore pornography. But they ultimately decided and said, okay, we're going to do something else. Sorry for the background noise there. Hopefully they can't hear me talking about dirty things. But yes, it ultimately got an 18 because the treatment of the film itself was not meant to arouse. It was actually meant to tell a provocative story. In the same way that you could say with the softcore pornography, but also saw hardish elements of the movie Crash, which a lot of people seem to be quite divided about. It actually was banned at the Westminster Council, but actually that's a different story altogether. But I just wanted to get that out of the way because that is on the sort of more extreme end of the spectrum. So love is in the air, and there you have it for Valentine's Day. I've said what I've had to say about films that are romantic and deal with love stories. Whether they have sex or no sex, that's an entirely different story. But they have a personal connection to me on some level that others don't. Unfortunately, I will be going back to where I am and crying to myself all alone. Or thinking how my life could be better than this. Putting a bullet through my head, but that's another story altogether. But I'm more than happy to discuss film ratings and classification whenever possible with the BBFC V MPAA podcast. I'm sorry I couldn't get Rob to be on this one, but I didn't want to have people perceive of me as being LGBT when in reality I'm not. So I've done this pretty much on my own, and I'm happy about the final products, and I hope you are too. Feel free to stay tuned for more podcasts that may be coming along the way. It may be with myself, maybe with Rob, maybe with Matt, who we had on the NC17 podcast. You never know, but just keep your ears and eyes peeled. Until then, peace.